We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And sometimes downtown is counterfeit cash that you're being paid with. Yep. Yeah, that happens too.
I don't have those worries. I don't buy the counterfeit tickets or use the counterfeit cash. I don't, just be careful. And don't drink alcohol for people that you don't know. I know that ain't got nothing to do with nothing we're talking about, but since we're throwing out, you know, counterfeit cash and other stuff, I felt like I had to give a PSA. Yeah, counterfeit alcohol. I had to throw out a PSA, too.
Around here, we know the name Allen Rossum. If you're a Falcons fan, you know it very well. How many years was he back there hauling in kickoffs for the Atlanta Falcons?
He was an Eagle first.
Well, he was an Eagle first. That's
correct. He was an Eagle first.
And before that, he was a Notre Dame Golden Domer. And he joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline this morning to talk a little bit about what's going to happen in Athens and more. Morning to you, Alan.
Good morning, guys. What's up, G2?
What's going on, man? Hey, first I want to say congratulations for dropping your babies off at college. How did you feel after doing that?
It was different, man, because, I had one going to Notre Dame with my mama, so I dropped her off about a month ago. But I see her every couple of weeks because I'm at all of these games at the home games, and then just dropping her twin off at Stanford. It was a little different because it's a little further away, and it's one of our many rivals. But it was cool, man. I didn't even shed a tear.
Yes, you lied, Alan. I know you're lying. You cried now. Your baby girl way out there in California, you cried. You cried.
Here's what I will tell you. Both trips, the RAs had to tell us, hey, can you guys leave the campus, please? We really overstayed our welcome on both stops. including yesterday, we had to keep apologizing because we kept thinking of stuff to do. I had to put a light on her bike, had to get her a new helmet, even though she's not going to wear it. So I took it back. Little stuff like that. But it was interesting, man. I've heard a lot of different stories, but I think we kind of been preparing for it for a while. So it was cool.
Well, congratulations. Now I want to ask you about your alma mater, man, because there's been a lot of people that think that Notre Dame does not have a chance against Georgia. But if there's one thing that Notre Dame needs to do well to beat the Georgia Bulldogs, what does that one thing have to be?
Stop the run. We've been kind of poor. So you got some good bookends for pass rush. Got a good safety crew. But we lost a lot on our D-line and linebackers last year. So we got to stop that run, man. And that's what's one of the things that Georgia does best is run the ball up the middle. And then we also got to run the ball. We've been pass happy lately. I don't know if you're trying to get Ian Book, first-round grade or whatever, but we have a pretty solid offensive line. Even though we lost a lot on the offensive line as well. I mean, they're being strong, and they've been in the system. And we got some very capable running backs. So hopefully we get some of our key people back that have been injured or they set out last week against New Mexico. And we control the line of scrimmage on both sides.
Talking with Allen Rossum, a longtime Atlanta Falcon. Yes, I guess he was an Eagle before he was a Falcon, but I consider him an Atlanta Falcon. Talking to us about his college at Notre Dame with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99. The thing. Curious, Allen, if you're hearing, I guess the Irish have to be hearing this too. The chatter is around the nation, and it's become conventional wisdom this week that Georgia, as you said, is going to beat up on Notre Dame. They have to be hearing that up in South Bend, right?
Of course. Now, you hear all that chatter, but only thing that matters is what you say about yourself. So people can tell you the greatest thing on earth or the worst thing on earth, but if you believe that you're somewhere in the middle, you'll be fine. You try not to read your own press clippings, whether good or bad, and kind of stay that even keel. We go out and just execute the plan, which is typically infallible if everyone's on the same page, then we'll be fine. Now, it's going to be a hostile environment. It's going to be SEC football. It's Saturday night. Some of the other SEC schools in America, they got to play during the daytime. They will remain nameless. One of them's in Alabama. But we're not worried about that. We don't listen to the naysayers. We've been either the most loved or most hated in every stadium that we go to. And sometimes at our home stadium, we were the most hated when we played Georgia 2 years ago. So it's fine, man. Hopefully these kids just rise to the occasion. Don't let the moment get away from them.
You know what? We're talking to Allen Rossum, a longtime Notre Dame great. Atlanta Falcons, great. Philadelphia Eagle, great. And I, on 92.9 The Game. And I just wanted to ask you, man, how does the Notre Dame community feel about Brian Kelly? And are they ready to move on from him?
That's a great question. It took a minute for me to, you know, for him to grow on me. I think it's kind of mixed emotions. I mean, we have the same standard as everyone else. Go to a big-time bowl game and win the games, and, of course, win national championships. So every year we go out with those goals. They have built new facilities up there. They have a new 100,000-square-foot indoor football facility up there. They've done their best to get the top recruits in. All he has to do now is just go out and win. So I think it's probably mixed emotions. For me and my family, I think that he's done as well as he can. So considering this, one, not every kid is going to be accepted into Notre Dame. And you have to be a special kid to, you know, to get in. We tried to recruit the kids. There were SEC kids or ACC kids, but that campus is a little different. It doesn't have the most parties, and it gets a little cold up there. So, and the campus is real small. Even though they have 80-plus thousand in the stands, there's only like 7,500 kids there. So it's a little different, man. So you got to be a special type of person to want to go there. I have no idea how I fit in up there, but I did. It was one of the best decisions of my life. So hopefully they continue with their winning ways and won't have any disruptions.
We're talking with Alan Rossum, former Notre Dame great with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
So, you know, there's a name that's been floating around out there, Urban Meyer. So if you had an opportunity to get Urban Meyer up there in South Bend, would that be something that you would definitely push for?
Well, see, Urban was my receiver coach at Notre Dame, so we already have a relationship. So, is that a yes?
Is that a yes?
Well, I can't speak on that. I'm not the power to be. I know Jack Swarick, well, also the athletic director, so I stay out of it, politics stuff, man. To me, it's always hard for me to express a need for change because you never know what you're going to get. And I love Urban like he's an uncle, you know. So I have no problem with Urban Meyer. I have no problem with Brian Kelly. When I was playing and you were playing, Notre Dame was the only school with the TV deal. Now everybody and mom has one. So we're competing with a different animal now. So I'm not calling for a change at all. I think he's done well considering the circumstances of all that you have to do when you're a coach at Notre Dame.
You know what, Alan? What are you running for office? Because you sound like a politician, man. You sound like a straight up politician now.
Hey, you know what I'm mad about?
What you mad about?
I bought my daughter an iPad yesterday, and at 9 o'clock last night, they came out with the newer version.
Oh, you should have waited.
That's what I'm,
you should have waited. Oh, you know you're about to get that new phone too. When she comes and say, "Dad, I need a new phone," you're about to get that new iPhone 11. That's gonna be about $1,200. You're gonna get that too.
Well, we've done a great job with this passed down phone. So whatever phone mom or dad has, then they can get it.
Yeah,
so,
I hear you.
And I just got the X, so I'm in no rush for phone.
So give me a prediction tomorrow night. How do you think this game is going to play out? Number before you do that, if Notre Dame plays Georgia close, how are you going to feel about that? If they're very competitive, how are you going to feel about that?
I feel great about it. I mean, this is a hostile environment that we're going into. And Georgia travels well anywhere. I mean, we saw how they traveled up to South Bend. So we know what we're getting into, but we're not afraid. We're going to show up early, and we're going to leave late. They have no problem playing against the top programs in the country. So my prediction is, hey, figure out a way to get a victory. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about if it's ugly or if it's pretty. If we're up 28, we're going to run the ball to seal the deal. And if we're up by seven, we're going to kick a field goal to do our best to seal the deal. We're not trying to win pretty at all. We just want to come away with a victory. This is SEC country, man. So, and I grew up in a football state, so I understand what it means.
Alan Rossum joining John here for another minute here as we talk about Notre Dame and Georgia. Alan, from my perspective, now, I don't dislike Georgia. I'm not a Georgia fan. Everybody on the listeners of the program knows that where I went to school, I went to Nebraska, and everybody understands that. But so I kind of view this somewhat dispassionately, but, I'm obviously going to lean one way. One thing I am certain I know about Georgia, another I'm pretty sure that I know about Georgia. The one thing that I'm certain I know about Georgia is that every year Georgia has that game that, for whatever reason, it just decides not to show up. Now, I don't think that's going to be this week, but that happens every year. And can they survive that game where suddenly it just they're not there for some reason or another? The thing I'm pretty sure of is I think, Alan, that Georgia is the best team in the nation. They're better than Clemson. They're better than Alabama. They're more complete. Having said that, if they show up and they're more complete, what is the area that Notre Dame attacks when you think about Ian Book? How do they attack that Georgia defense? I mean, do they do it through, you say run the ball, but do they have to have trick plays? Do they have to have short fields? What do they have to do to try to attack that Georgia defense?
Man, like I said earlier, it's just controlling the trenches. You can't be afraid of stalling at the beginning of the game. Notre Dame, for the first couple of games, they started out slow and then picked it up as the game went on. I don't think we can do that in this game because this game can get out of control quickly. So we got to come out with a little bit more fire, rise to the occasion, and try to up-tempo their tempo, meaning that if they're at a level, try to go to a notch higher. Yeah, on paper, man, they can beat the Miami Dolphins right now on paper. And in my opinion, they should have won the national championship the last 2 years, give or take with Clemson last year, because that was just a crazy scenario that they kind of had everything going. But I was at that national championship game against Alabama. There's no way they should have lost that game. And that was just a bad year for Atlanta, as we know what happened in the Super Bowl. But on paper, they have had talent after talent after talent. And you see a lot of those guys go into the NFL and play well also. So if you look at it, we have no chance. But I remember, playing the number 5 team in the country, oh so long ago, when they had this guy by the name of Keyshawn Johnson there. And we put a pretty nice little whipping on them as well. So whether they underestimated us, whether they didn't come to play, nobody cares about that. The only thing they put in the paper is wins and losses. That's all we care about.
Alan Ross. May Alan, one quick thing. Shout out to Falcons fans. Hughes Eagles, and I know you guys are Eagles, but to Falcons fans here, because this is the Falcons station here, you keep tabs on the team?
Oh, yeah, very much. I was at the Falcons-Eagles game. so that was a little interesting. Because I was drafted by the Eagles, as he knows. He took great care of me, by the way. So, great care of me. Showed me the ropes in Philly, along with some other guys by the name, that will remain nameless, but they're big-time guys. One is in the Hall of Fame, or another guy works for the NFL. But, I was blessed to be around some great veterans who showed me the way. And I made a lot of mistakes. So some of them learning from them, but other ones I kind of made on my own. But it was great to have great veterans like you and some of the other guys in that Eagles locker room. So I take nothing back from my time there. Cherish the moments that we've had here. Arthur Blank is a tremendous owner, and I wish to be somewhat of an owner like him or just in a philanthropic world. So big shout-outs to all of those guys. Man, I have no loyalty really to anything but Notre Dame, but if I had an NFL team, it would be the Atlanta Falcons, even though I'm from Dallas.
There you go. Alan Rossum, it's always a pleasure.
And shout out to ATL Zoom, too, because I heard you got, 100% of your kids going to college?
Yeah, so we have a youth track club, John, that has, for the third year in a row, 100% of our seniors are off in college somewhere in this grassland, Harvard to Stanford to Hampton to FAMU. So those kids do a great job, and this year we had 22 kids finish number one. We had one girl, Jasmine Jones, won the Pan Am Games, so she's number one in North and South America, including Central America. So that's a pretty good team, man. You guys got to come out. You come out.
Yeah, and I just want to shout out to all the ATL Zoom single moms out there. You're doing a great job with your kids, doing a wonderful job with those kids. And
I'm check us out on social media, man. Let's figure it out. ETL Zoom. I'm not on social media, but I know we have a great following on there.
Yes, you do. You do.
On Instagram.
Like I said, shout out to all the single moms that are doing wonders with their raising those kids right. They're raising them right.
Well, we have a team meeting on Sunday. I will remind them that you have to give a shout out to single moms.
All right, then, my man. Have a wonderful day, man. Are you going to the game? Are you going to the game Saturday?
I will be at the game. I have an event tonight, and I'm doing a tailgate with Champ Bailey at 2:00 tomorrow in Athens. have an event tonight at my office on 3rd and Peachtree from 4 to 6 for all you Notre Dame fans and lovers on our patio at our office. And then we enjoy the game Saturday night. And then at some point I'll go to sleep.
All right, then. Well, you know, I might come to that. I might come check out that tailgate there. Come hang out.
Yeah, do that.
With some of the gracious alumni. You know. Yeah.
You'll see a lot of guys that you know there. Trust me. It's just not Georgian alum and Notre Dame alumni. Everybody lives here, so I invited everybody.
All right, then, man. Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate you.
All right. And John, I want to apologize to you right now for whatever he's going to do next.
He's going to pick winners in football games. That's what he's going to do. Thanks, Alan.
All right,
Alan Rossum. Former Falcons, great. Obviously, former Eagles, and of course, Notre Damer. When we get back, we are going to pick that Notre Dame Georgia game. We are going to pick that Falcons game. We're going to pick the six biggest games of the week. It's called the Pick Six, and we'll tell you who's going to win. Well, Abe and Hugh will. I'll tell you probably who's going to lose. That's how it kind of works. After a CBS Sports Minute. Morning show with John and Hugh on this Falcons Friday. Going to be a busy weekend on Atlanta's sports radio station. We'll have United and San Jose at 3:30 tomorrow. We're going to join the Georgia State-Texas State game as soon as Atlanta United ends, so we'll have the Panthers and the Texas State Bobcats. Then on Sunday, we'll have a couple of games for you, certainly the Falcons and Colts, and then the late-night Sunday night matchup, intriguing one, Rams and Browns. But we're not picking that game in our Pick 6 this week because we have other games to do. We call it the Pick 6, where we pick six games, three college, three NFL, best games of the week. Now, I don't even tell me what the standings are. I don't want to hear it. Hey,
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
Because one of us is 7-11. The rest of the trio are all above 500.
I know. I gotta go chalk. I keep taking all these flyers. All right, here we go. This week, let's begin, Abe and Hugh and Orem, with an intriguing game in the Big Ten. Michigan at Camp Randall against Wisconsin. Yeah, this is I thought this might be the Big Ten title game, but I'm not sure that one of those teams is going to make it.
It's a tough game to pick, but at the end of the day, for me, I'm going to feel like an idiot if I pick Michigan, knowing what Army just did to them, and then Jonathan Taylor runs for 235 yards. I'm going to feel like an idiot if I make that pick. So I'm going with Wisconsin, and Orange going with Wisconsin as well.
You have any thoughts on this one, Michigan and Wisconsin?
I'll say this. Like, the picks that I make today, I do not pick because I'm not picking because I feel one way or another about the team. I just feel like that's what's going to happen. That's going to be the outcome for this weekend. So I just wanted to put that out there before I say anything else. I think it's going to be Wisconsin. I really do. I go back to that Michigan-Army game and the way that they played against them. I don't really feel like Michigan is that tough of a team.
The way that Army ran against Michigan.
Yeah, it's going to be a
knowing
problem.
Jonathan Taylor sitting back there for Wisconsin. I don't know how anyone could pick Michigan. So, John?
Well, I'm going to take Wisconsin, too.
Okay.
But the way you do pick Michigan is you say that Jim Harbaugh is just – his back is to – you as Jim Harbaugh in trouble of being kind of – not he's not going to be fired or anything, but is he in trouble of being kind of, hey, you need to leave?
What is the difference? How is that different from being fired? Hey, you need to leave.
You're not in trouble until you lose to Ohio State again. Because if they beat Ohio State, it all changes.
You're not going to get fired, but you need to leave. Like, what's the difference?
I mean, doors that way. Am I still getting paid? Just leave.
Just leave. You're not being fired. We just want you out of here. No, right, that's fine.
Clean sweep, then. All four of us, Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin. I go with Wisconsin.
Intriguing game at College Station, Texas. Texas A&M hosting the Auburn War Eagles as the Bo Nix goes on the road for a test. Auburn up to number 8 in the nation. Great start for Gus Malzahn, and the Dogs are off him right now. Can they go to A&M and win this game, Abe?
Can they? Sure. Will they? No. Look, I don't know what to think of Auburn. I haven't really figured them out yet. I don't buy Oregon, which means that Auburn's win over Oregon I don't really buy. I thought Texas A&M looked pretty good against Clemson. I mean, this is Clemson we're talking about on the road in a game that last year's game, Texas A&M Clemson, I think they snuck up on them. I think Texas A&M snuck up on Clemson. Knowing that, coming in this year, Texas A&M had no shot to sneak up on them. Clemson was ready and showed it on the field, and it was still pretty competitive. I think at home, and Orrin feels the same way, at home, I think we just like Texas A&M. Is Bo Nix's first start on the road in the SEC, I believe, at least against a real team? We like Texas A&M.
Wait a minute, he wasn't at. But when he started was against Oregon. That was a neutral site.
I think
site.
It was a neutral site. Well, okay, and it wasn't SEC. It wasn't SEC. But yeah.
Ooh, this is a tough one. I look at Auburn. I think Auburn has been like sneaky good so far this season. And I'm gonna go ahead. I'm rolling with Auburn on this one.
I'm rolling with you. I'm taking Auburn as well. I just
Me change my John Roller. No, I'm just kidding. No. I'm just kidding.
Auburn's defensive line is some kind of good. I think it's better than Clemson's defensive line. I think A&M's going to have a hard time moving the ball against Auburn. So I'm going to run with Auburn on the road to continue this impressive start. And if they beat A&M, by the way, they'll have the two best wins of any team in the nation so far this season.
Hey, and that's probably right? Fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oregon,
I mean, Georgia State's win over Tennessee was pretty good.
No, but both on the road. I mean, both. Yeah. Neither down on the plains. Third game, of course, is anybody taking Notre Dame? But we got to pick Notre Dame, Georgia. It's almost like, you know, we should pick it by the spread.
I would say, by the way, LSU's win over Texas may be in that discussion as well.
No, two games.
I know.
Okay.
But not two best individual wins, but two as a pair. Gotcha.
As a pair, yeah. Notre Dame and Georgia, I don't think anybody, I know Orange.
We didn't talk about it for very long in the studio.
Yeah. But the question is, that you can write us all down for Georgia. The question is, how big a win do you expect it to be?
I expect somewhere between 17 on the low end and maybe 30 on the high end.
Three touchdowns in my world. Three touchdowns.
You think Notre Dame's going to win by three touchdowns?
I didn't say that. You ain't get that. You ain't see that come off my lips.
I think we all think it's going to be a curb stomping. That's the question is how big.
I don't know about.
Win?
This is what has me kind of that when people use words like curb stomping and beat down. I think Notre Dame is going to come with something. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're going to come with something.
Oh, I agree. They're just not going to be able to stop Georgia for running the ball.
I also wonder how long that something they come with is maintained.
I got something for you.
Because I can see it being competitive, you know, into the late second quarter, and then you see how it flips. I wonder if they could sustain that sort of adrenaline and energy after half.
Yeah, at some point, Georgia's just going to wear him down.
Get away from it.
Suddenly, DeAndre Swift is – I think DeAndre Swift is going to have – a Heisman-like day. This could launch you, DeAndre Swift's Heisman campaign, this game. All right, let's get to the NFL. Intriguing game in Seattle because the Swampers go up there to face the Seahawks with their now two-headed quarterback system of Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill. What do you think, Abe?
Even if this were Drew Brees, I might have a tough time picking the Saints going to Seattle and winning. Without Drew Brees, they're definitely not going to Seattle and winning. Seahawks all the way. Falcons pick up a game in the South.
What does Orange say?
Same thing.
Dude, you see the Saints being able to go on the road and win with these two quarterbacks?
Nope, because what they say, when you had two quarterbacks, you have none. So I'm thinking that, and I know that's probably part of that is gamesmanship, and I know Teddy Bridgewater is probably going to be the guy. But I think Seattle is too good of a team, and I think Seattle's going to win this one. And you're going up there against that 12th man, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I think Seattle's kind of sneaky good, too. And I would say this as well, and this is where I'm kind of with Abe a little bit. I'm not sure even with Drew Brees. I got to tell you, I'm not sure how good the Saints are even with Drew Brees. I think the Falcons are a better team. Of course, we'll find out. But I'm not sure the Saints are all that. Because at the end of the year last year, there were some questionable games for them. Ravens and Chiefs, maybe the most intriguing game of the week. The Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson doing what he's doing in Kansas City against Pat Mahomes and everybody expecting the over-under to be 100. Right or so?
I saw the over-under earlier this week. It's 55 or 63, whatever. I don't know. Something
stupid.
And I immediately thought under. But then this is one of those games you feel so stupid taking the under if it's like 35-30 at half. Which it definitely could be 35-30 at half. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens have had a great start to the season. Mark Ingram's kind of resurged and had a great refresh to his career. But come on. Mahomes is playing for the second straight year at an MVP level. Mecole Hardman had a huge touchdown. Kelsey's doing his thing. I find it very tough to believe the Ravens not only keep this up, but go into Arrowhead and do it against the Chiefs. Kansas City's winning. Me and Oren are both on the Chiefs.
I'm with the Chiefs for the simple fact that I don't think, with what you're going to have to do, I don't really think Lamar Jackson is going to do that. I know he had a great start of the season. But I think in order to be in this game, you're going to have to throw the football a lot more than they're probably going to be comfortable with. And I think that's going to be the problem. So I'm going with the Chiefs on this one.
I'm going to take the Ravens on the road here. I'm going to go with their defense to slow Kansas City down and their ability to run the football against the Chiefs have an Achilles heel. Their defense is not good. And so if Baltimore can – this is how you keep Pat Mahomes to 24 points. You just have him stay on the sidelines with a baseball hat. And so I think with Lamar running the football and Mark Ingram running the football, Baltimore's going to shorten this game, and it's going to go under. And people are going to be surprised. I like Baltimore.
35-30 at half. Have fun.
All right. Last game, of course, Falcons and Colts. Is anybody taking the Colts in this game? Because we're the Atlanta Falcons station.
We thought about it. I think Orin and I seriously discussed it.
Wait a minute. What was that rationale? Behind what?
Apparently, he thinks no one can pick against the Falcons here.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
That's a ridiculous
statement. Look, I don't know what's happening with Darius Leonard. I personally think he's out. I personally think he's going to be out for the game with the concussion protocol. Marlon Mack's got whatever groin, hammy, whatever injury he's dealing with. Hopefully that limits him a little bit. I do think that the Falcons, coming off of a pretty impressive win Sunday night, I think they stay physical, stay intense, take it to Indy. And it's not Andrew Luck. It's at the end of the day, it's still Jacoby Brissett. You can't lose if you're a playoff team. If you're the Falcons and you're a playoff team, you can't lose to Jacoby Brissett. So we're both going with the Falcons.
Wow, that's a strong argument. And I tell you, like the way you worded that, really has me kind of thinking about what I picked because I picked the Indianapolis Colts. Because like I said, even if Marlon Mack does not play, you still got Jordan Wilkins there. He's a pretty big back.
Wilkins and Hines, they don't scare me, though.
They don't scare you.
Not the way Marlon Mack does.
No. But if Marlon Mack gives me 10 plays, that's 10 plays that'll probably be very, very productive
if
he's
out there.
Brady's
going to blow up two of them. So now you're down to eight plays.
But that's fine. Until you do it against a bigger back, I'm not believing the hype. I'm not believing how I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts with this one.
And I think the Falcons play their most complete game of the year. You know, they just have to limit their penalties and this, you know, silly mistakes. If Matt Ryan makes the correct calls here, I think we'll be okay. I think the Falcons are going to go on the road and win this game. All right, that's the pick six. When we get back in a moment, we're so locked in on the Falcons and United playing and the Braves clinching tonight and everything else, Georgia Notre Dame, that we're missing stories. That's what Sweet Tea is for. Deidre will bring the Sweet Tea next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Is that on a hot topic?
Yeah.
No worries. Deidre's got you covered as Sweet Tea brings the tea on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We always say we love having Deidre on the show here with us and bringing us up to speed on the stuff that we missed because we miss a lot.
Yes. So, guys, let's start out in Kansas City. Mahomes mania is maybe getting a little out of hand. Per the Lawrence Journal World, one of their local newspapers, a man and woman stole a life-size cutout of Patrick Mahomes from a McDonald's. After stealing the cutout and speeding off, they got in a wreck nearby shortly after that with the Mahomes cutout sitting in the back seat. Luckily, no one was seriously injured, although someone was treated for minor injuries, maybe the cutout. The two suspects were given a notice to appear in court for the theft and given a ticket for the accident.
You ever been to Lawrence?
I have not actually ever been to Lawrence.
Now,
only
Lawrence,
Kansas City.
Yeah. Lawrence is an attractive town. It's a cute city, but it's like the Orlando of the Midwest. I mean, I don't know what happens in that town. That town, they have the funniest police department on Twitter, by the way. The Lawrence PD on Twitter is hilarious. They're like the Wendy's of police departments.
How do you
departments.
Know these things?
Because I used to live up in that area. But Lawrence, weird things happen in that town. It's just a bizarre city.
Yeah, that just seems so odd to me. It was almost one of those where if it didn't, to your point, John, if it didn't say that it happened in Lawrence, in Kansas, I would have thought it was out of Florida. I would have thought it was out of Orlando because, you know, this is always from my report of the files in Florida.
Yeah,
always.
Like Florida man or Florida woman or some crazy
always.
That. Yeah, who does that? That's kind of stupid.
Exactly, kind of quirky. Stupid. So, Hugh, when you played for the Eagles, what was that one thing that you couldn't or didn't do when you played the Cowboys?
Oh, wear anything Cowboys colors.
So you just stayed away?
Yeah, like anything that anybody could, anything that looked like it might be in Cowboys colors. No, I don't want to wear
away.
That. Yeah.
And, John, what about you? What's the one thing you refuse to do when the Saints come to town?
Talk to Saints fans on Twitter.
They go in, don't they?
Yeah, I can't because I know that I am capable of using adult words at times, and I don't want to do that on the Twitter and get called into the office.
Right. You know. And they will take you there. So you kind of have a pseudo ban on social media at least.
Yes.
During the time they come to
town. Just for them.
Just for them, right.
And plus,
right.
I don't like getting crayon all over my Twitter. I mean, when they tweet into me, it's just like, you know,
whatever. Here you go. So here's a good reason to break code or break it slightly. Ohio State head coach Ryan Day broke the Buckeyes' no blue rule in the best way on Thursday. Day wore a dark blue T-shirt to his press conference. Now, the shirt wasn't Michigan blue, so he still technically didn't break code. It was New Hampshire blue. Day explained that he wore the shirt, which displayed the University of New Hampshire head football coach Sean McDonald to honor and show respect and support for the coach who's battling cancer. It was his coach while he played at the University of New Hampshire, and he just wanted to show that love and support. So while not completely breaking the no blue code, certainly breaking it for a good cause.
Yeah.
Good reason.
You know what's funny? People get in their feelings about, like, if you're wearing certain colors at certain events. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's why I would always try, like, especially last week. I stayed with neutral colors.
Sure.
But one time I wore a red T-shirt. Just a red T-shirt, nondescript, just like, you know, a graphic tee, nothing on it, crazy. And somebody, oh, you're wearing that because it's Falcons colors. I was like, nah, I'm wearing it because it's a red T-shirt, but you got to be careful. Yeah. You have to be careful because people tend to read into stuff like
they
that.
They do. They absolutely do.
Well, he's wearing a green T-shirt today. That must be Eagles colors.
Right.
Come on.
No, it's not. It's not that Eagles green.
I know.
It's a funny, funky-looking green
like
with
a Kelly
funny
green.
Little monster on it.
It's the King Shark. From DC Comics.
Yeah, it's like North Texas green. King Shark
Camp. North Texas green. Yes, that is definitely North Texas green. So if you were a fan of this show back in the day, I know I certainly was, it is back for your viewing pleasure. The Boondocks will return for 2 seasons plus a 50-minute special on HBO Max in 2020. The show's creator, Aaron Magruder, is returning as the showrunner. All of the show's original episodes will be available on a direct-to-consumer offering. Of course, this was a show that really was revolutionary. It was ahead of its time. It aired episodes long before anybody else touched it on the trial of R. Kelly, the fundraiser, and the story of Gangstalicious.
The Boondocks rubbed
amazing.
A lot of people the wrong way.
It really did, but
yes,
how interesting and how amazing is it? And forward thinking, ahead of his time, was Aaron Magruder with the show.
Yeah, but you know, you kind of wonder how it's gonna be
play
received
out.
Now.
Yeah.
With the way that things are, nobody wants to be talked bad about. Nobody has a sense of humor anymore.
Right, and he said that's the biggest challenge for him. He talked about being excited about the opportunity, but that yes, in our politically and culturally sensitive climate, it's going to be interesting trying to weave those stories in.
It's going to be
as
tough.
Far as where we are now. Reports do say that John Witherspoon will return to voice Grandpa Freeman. No word yet on whether or not Regina King will reprise her roles as Huey and
she's
Riley.
She's been really busy.
Yeah,
like, she's been extremely.
Yeah,
and I didn't know she did both of them, but she's
yeah,
been
yeah,
she's been on
yeah.
the fast track. Like, I know she's shooting Watchmen here
yes.
somewhere.
And
she got a lot of other roles that she's been shooting, man, Regina. Like, kudos to her because she has really, like, as an actress.
Yes.
From her days at 227.
Yeah.
Man, she has blown up.
And not just that, but also as a director, you know, of course, in her recent speech, she promised that she was really going to look for people of color as well as women to really put them in more prominent positions in front of the camera and behind the camera. And just a quick update, guys, before we go, you know, we talked on Wednesday about that Iowa State fan, Carson King, who showed up to Saturday's edition of College Game Day in Ames, Iowa, looking to see the Cyclones pull off a win and also hoping to get some beer money. Well, he went, of course, to Twitter, asked for the beer money. Then his Venmo account shot up from like $1,600 to like $11,000. Well, he was on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt on Wednesday night, and now he's raised, get this, $225,000.
Wow.
As of Thursday
not bad
afternoon.
For a beer signing.
Exactly.
Oh, he keeping some of that money.
He's winning, though.
He keeping some of that money.
Yeah, and he still got his one-year beer, and all of this for the amazing attention he's brought to the cause for Children's Hospital, but also just for I don't know. I just think that's so amazing. Like, literally, how social media is so. That's when you use social media for the good, though, right?
Yeah, it's some good. It's some landscapes on social media that aren't that bad.
But that's social media for the good.
Social media is the devil's playground.
It can do some good things. things sometimes.
It can. I mean, on balance, I think it's a net negative, in my opinion. But
it does. Yeah, and that's why I love to talk about stories like this every now and again, where we actually use our powers on social media for good. We use our Twitter fingers for something.
I use my powers for good on Twitter.
I mean, I could just see, you know, now because college
everybody
game day.
Everybody looking at me like I'm lying.
College game day is going to be in Athens, right?
Yes.
How many?
Oh yeah.
So how many guys?
So how many sides?
How many beer sides are there going to be? Hey, this. But I need my beer filled up. You know, Bell's going to be out there. I need my Hey Man Ale. You know,
right, right. Oh, I can't wait for that.
Everybody could be honking for beer in their sign, right? Yeah. Who's got the Washington State flag, by the way? Yeah, you know, because it's there every week. You know, it's right. Hey, we're going to have our big bowling tournament coming up a week from Wednesday on the 25th, or actually take that back, next Wednesday. On the 25th, it starts and strikes in Sandy Springs from 4 to 7 p.m. Going to have a lot of celebrities there. You can come bowl with us, with Hugh, with Dukes of Bell, with Andy and Randy. We're all going to have teams. We want you to go to our website, 929thegame.com. Check out the events page, and you can come join us. It's a tournament, but it's not, you know, Hugh, it's not really a tournament. It's like, you know.
It's the bowl to have fun hanging out with us. Yeah. We're just hanging out. I probably won't do too much bowling. You'll probably get your ear talked off if you're on my team for the most part, because I'm not going to do too much bowling.
And then there's going to be a big viewing party for Atlanta United after the event, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be next Wednesday, Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Hope to see you there as we get raise money for a good cause, too, for the Travis Manion Foundation. When we get back, David Green, star quarterback of the Georgia Bulldogs, going to talk to us a little bit about what he thinks about Georgia Notre Dame. We'll talk with David live next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.